Philippians 3. Just going to read from verse 12 to verse 14. Okay, so Philippians 3, the heading is pressing on towards the goal. So just a few verses. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's that wonderful sense of pressing on, that sense of effort and energy that sometimes we all recognize, I think, that we have to put in if we are going to follow Jesus. We do need to press on. And even the Apostle Paul there saying, you know, guys, I don't think I've got there yet. I haven't reached the end of the journey. I haven't achieved everything God has laid out for me. So he's pressing on. Now, what we need at this point, just to recap on 40 Acts. Open up our Bibles right away. To Colossians chapter 3. I'm hoping I've got the verses correct this time. So Colossians 3. Yes, I think I've got them right. Verse 1, page 1184. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. So this term, we've been looking at character under this verse. This is our key verse, and you'll have noticed, I'm sure, as we read through, Colossians chapter 3 is very reminiscent of Galatians 5 in parts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the challenge for all of us, the encouragement for all of us, is to be aware that it's not the gifts and the talents that we may have that really count. It's our character. It is who we are that matters. And that is what is being spoken of here. This is the fruit that is grown in somebody's life, in their character. And it's hard work, and we do need to press on towards this particular goal, this particular prize, to say, I want a character that better reflects the character of the Lord Jesus, so that people can see him in me. Now, very quickly, that's very quick, isn't it? Whack them up. This is where we've been so far. Reminder, fruit takes time. If we are going to have a transformed character, then we do need to grab a hold of it and say, I am going to do something about it. We do need to think and reflect and meditate on the life, death and resurrection of Jesus. And if you're thinking, do you know, since January, I've not seen any change in my character. Well, my response to you is, have you been reading the Gospels? Have you been responding with 40 Acts? Have you been doing those things that make a difference in your life? Because if we don't do them, if we don't deliberately change, it will never change for us. And so we're looking to reflect the character of Jesus. We're looking, as we mentioned earlier, to live the change. And so we can't say, and we won't say, you know, that's not me, that's not my personality or whatever. Instead, we say, why not? And we start to be generous. We start to be loving and forgiving and kind and merciful. We deliberately choose these things, and we will begin to see the change. Three marks of the disciple that we'll touch on again today: looking up, in and out, loving God with heart, mind, soul and strength, loving ourselves, being honest with ourselves, and looking out, caring for our neighbour. And the challenge of developing character, 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, never mind what everybody else is up to, but you, man of God. And that word comes to us, but you, man of God, but you, woman of God. Never mind everybody else. Don't make excuses. But you, flee from all these and pursue righteousness. And that's the challenge. If we're to develop character, we need to grab a hold of it and say, I'm going to do this. And then we've looked at, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Last week, your love has given me great joy. Love, of course, giving way to joy in somebody's life. That awareness that we are loved with an everlasting love, that God will never let us go, that we are forgiven by God, that he accompanies us on our life's journey. That gives way to joy, knowing those things, that we are loved. And today, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Okay, so four headings I've got today. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with your neighbour, and peace in the world. That theme, Lord Jesus said, how do you inherit eternal life? Love God with your heart, mind, soul and strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And it applies in terms of joy and peace as well. Peace with God, peace with yourself, peace with your neighbour, and peace in the world. And we'll touch on that later. Peace with God. The first thing I want to say is that God is for you. God is for you. I was brought up in a tradition that told me over and over and over that God was angry at me. Did you grow up in that kind of tradition? That you'd sinned. I'd sinned. No, never mind anybody else. It was made very clear, abundantly clear. I had sinned. And I'd fallen short of the glory of God, and I deserved to die, and God's wrath was focused on me. And I need to plead with God. Don't be angry at me anymore. Would you be at peace with me? And you may have picked up, as I have, and literally, how has the change come about for me? One of the key ways the change and transformation has come about for me is I've sought to read the Bible. I've done it from cover to cover. I've taken time to reflect upon it. A lot of time and a lot of effort. And what do I pick up? Is that God is for you. God is not mad at you. God is for you. God is for you. He's not mad at you. And I've put this quote up before in the very first paragraph. St. Augustine, writing 1,000 or so years ago, he struggled in his own life. His mother was a Christian and very much wanted young Augustine to be a Christian. But Augustine confesses that the last thing he wanted was to follow in his mother's footsteps. He wanted to have the adventures that he saw the other young man of his time having. But eventually, he came to this understanding. Now, forgive the old language. But thou hast made us for thyself, and restless is our heart until it comes to rest in thee. Where is the agitation? Where is the lack of peace? It's not in God. It's in us. We're the ones who are not at peace. But the encouragement is to find that peace with God. And it begins from that understanding. God is for you. He has created a place for you and I so that we can find rest with him and peace with him. And I put this question about wrestling with God. Wrestling with God. There's that story about Jacob who wrestled with an angel. Or some would say he wrestled with God. And the name Israel was given to Jacob, which means wrestling with God. And that became, and I think appropriately, that became the name of Abraham's family, Abraham's descendants, Israel. They keep on wrestling with God, struggling with God. All the time, God is saying, I am for you, I love you. Deuteronomy 6 and 7 is explicit. I have chosen you out of all the nations of the world, and I love you. Stop fighting me. There is a place of rest here for you. But Jacob wrestled, and it became a key element of the life of the nation. People who wrestled with God. And my word today is if we are to know peace with God, we need to stop wrestling against him. We need to stop fighting God and fighting his way. We need to stop that. And it's only when we bow the knee to the way of Jesus, only when we accede to the way of God, do we begin to find peace. And you, many of you will know that from your own experience, that God is for you. And he just says, come and walk my way. And we know that the way of God, and I've just as examples, is love and mercy and justice and so on. That is the way of God. That is the way God acts. That's the way God is. And I do think our struggle, certainly my struggle, comes from an avoiding or rejecting the way of God. And all the time I'm clashing with God's way of doing things. I clash because I don't want to forgive. I clash with God because I don't want to be merciful. I clash with God because I put up with injustice in the world. And all the time, my character is jarring with God. And I find myself struggling with him. How can I possibly expect to know peace with God unless I say yes to him? He's already said yes to me. And it is only in the way of God that we will find perfect peace. Now, I've just thrown that out, and you might be challenged by that, and be good if you are challenged by that. But peace with God, only time we experience peace with God is when we accede to his way. Because the way of the Lord is perfect. The way of the Lord is good and perfect. And when we take on his values and his way of love and mercy and justice, then we begin to see peace. And we begin, it's taking on the way of God, not just in our minds. That's an important thing. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to think differently, but it's when we do it as well, and it becomes part of our character. And if we're going to have the transformation, love, joy, peace in our character, we will only know that peace with God when we say yes to him. And I mentioned earlier about baptism. You know, I know that some people wrestle against God and say, no, it's not for me. And then they wonder why they've never got peace with God. And God is just saying, come walk my way. You know, or whatever it is that's in your life. Okay. So, peace with God. The next thing is peace with yourself. This loving God, we focus, loving God with a heart, mind, soul, and strength. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. So we need to deal with ourselves. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with yourself? Sometimes I think I find it easier to think about peace with God than I do peace with myself. Sometimes I think I find it easier to think about having peace with others than I do having peace with myself. Because I know who I am. And I don't always like what I see in me. So how can I possibly have peace with who I am? And I know as well that I have a very skewed perspective. I don't necessarily see myself as I truly am. And so I struggle to have peace with myself as to who I am. And so I want to suggest this, that if we're to have peace with God and then peace with ourselves, we need to have this. We need to have acceptance of ourselves. But that must be allied with a stubborn desire to grow and mature. Yeah? The only way we'll have peace with ourselves is, first of all, we need to accept who we are. We need to be honest with who we are. And we need to accept ourselves. But that acceptance needs to be allied with this, what I've said is, this stubborn desire to grow and mature. Peace with God, peace with myself, but, I'm pressing on towards the goal. I haven't reached the prize just yet. But I will live with myself right now. Just a few moments ago, we sang that first verse of that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. And you will know the story, I'm sure, of John Newton. I don't know if you've ever seen pictures or maybe even gone to visit his grave. It's not the kind of thing perhaps you'd do in Olney near Milton Keynes, I think. I don't suppose Milton Keynes existed in John Newton's day, did it? But on the back of his grave, you know, on the front, it's just got his name and his dates and the name of his wife and so on and dates. But if you go around the back, he wrote the inscription himself. And he talks about himself as an infidel and one who fought against God, but by the grace of God, I was changed and so on. And that's not the exact wording, but it's something like that. He was a man who had fled from God. He was a slave trader. He even says of himself that he was so uncouth in his language that when he was on the ships, every day he would be inventing new words, worse than the day before. Such was the battle going on within his own heart and soul. And yet he came to a deep and profound faith in God and was able to write that hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And he was saying, I am that wretch. Amazing grace that saved me. And later in his life, he wrote this: I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world. But still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I thought that was a wonderful statement. It's that sense of acceptance. I'm not what I used to be. And I'm not what I want to be. But right now, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That deep sense of acceptance, allied with this stubborn desire to grow and mature. And we have to be honest with ourselves about who we are, what our habits are, what our thinking is like. And we need to be proactive, and we need to build into our life habits of change and growth. When you read the Apostle Paul letters, the letters of the Apostle Paul, you become very aware that he doesn't believe in instant answers. He believes in hard work. He doesn't believe in instant answers. He doesn't believe, click your fingers and it'll be okay. He knows from his own experience he's had to struggle to get to where he is. He knows his own life. And he's able, on a number of occasions, he's very specific about who he was, about how he persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, he's been changed and is being changed, and he's not made it just yet. So peace with God, peace with yourself, and then peace with your neighbour. Peace with your neighbour. And these are very practical, challenging things. If we're to have peace as an aspect of our character, we want the love and the joy, and yes, we want peace. If we're to have peace as an aspect of our character, peace with God, peace with ourselves, then that must be accompanied with peace with our neighbour. Forgiveness and repair, or restoration and reconciliation. The end of the Lord's Prayer challenges, the words after the Lord's Prayer challenges us about forgiveness. And even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our sins in the same way as we forgive other people their sins. If we're to know peace, it is peace with God, peace with ourselves, and it is peace with our neighbour. And maybe there are apologies to be made. Maybe there are letters to be written. Maybe there are aspects of our life that we're not proud of, and we need to speak to somebody about it, because we desire peace. We desire peace in our hearts and our lives. Now, peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with our neighbour. And I put this fourth one in: peace in the world. Peace in the world. If you know the peace of God in your own heart and your life, what we discover is that you will grow a desire that there might be peace in the world. Because we do not live in isolation. We can't say, I want peace in my life with God. Isn't that wonderful? Me in my small bubble and you in yours. You know, what happens is that when we experience peace with God, we are all the more clear that there is not peace in the world. And so we find in ourselves this deep and profound peace with God, but this aching and longing for peace in the world. And much as we want to, we find we cannot ignore what's going on in the world. And we cry out, as God's heart cries out, for justice in the world, this putting things right in the world. And that is the challenge for us. And it's a deep challenge today, if the peace of Christ is to rule in our hearts and lives. And if we are to know peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with our neighbour, and peace in the world. And I recognise I've shot through that very quickly. I could have taken a week on each aspect of that. But I trust that as I've spoken, God has just pinpointed something for you. One aspect of that. And my encouragement to you is grab a hold of it and say, okay, I'm going to work on this, that my character might be transformed. I will put one foot forward and then another and then another. Step by step, I will know transformation in my life. Let's pray together. When the Lord Jesus met with his disciples on the day of resurrection, his first words were, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Gracious Lord, we long to know peace. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would fill our hearts and lives with the presence of God, that you would cause there to be an aching and a longing to know peace, that we might be able to say with Saint Augustine that you've made us for yourself and we are forever restless until our heart comes to rest in you. Holy Spirit, fill us, empower us, and encourage us to walk the way of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.